Hi guys, welcome. This is Itunu. So today's episode is a bit, we've been having some issues recording, but we did record this week's episode, War. And I'm just here to let you know that the audio might be a bit off and the ending might be a bit abrupt, actually very abrupt. Just enjoy.
It was interesting, I will say that. It was, so as a Northerner, let me start by saying, yes, I'm a self-proclaimed Northerner. I was raised there. I have Northern blood. Anybody that wants to say I'm not can go and hang themselves off a tree. I said what I said.
I was actually going
to love.
I was going to ask you how you like
language,
because I know that you would have something to say.
I was on cloud nine. So I was, okay, no, let me phrase that. I was on cloud nine with certain people. There were certain people, it's one of those running things where I talk about it at home with my family as well a lot. I feel like a lot of the time when Southerners play Northern roles, they don't do enough research into the mannerisms and, you know, the way we speak and what the language actually sounds like. So it sounds like, you know, when African-American actors do African characters and they sound like they have a headache. Yes, it is that. So I'm always like that. I don't know a single soul that would ever say that, but whatever. So it was very much that, like, it was. So what's it called? General Loco. The way the man was speaking and he was sounding like somebody's grandfather from like 50 million. I do not know a single soul.
Another person that made me wonder, because I'm not from the North. I've never lived in the North. I've never been to the North. But I have friends. I know you, even though you don't have the accent. But at least I've heard Malam speak. This guy, Dika's father, the way he was speaking as well, with a high-pitched. And then
That's exactly what I meant. Like, it was just very, and I get that, you know, there's like a sing-songy element to the way a lot of us speak, but like, it was very sort of lyrically high-pitched, trying to add on like emphasis in places that I was just like, now I know in the 26 years that I have been alive, I have never heard a soul speak like this even once. So what's that? What are you doing? In fact, at the end of the last episode, I went to check, so because obviously I was watching it all in one go. I wasn't really looking at the credits. Last episode, I went to go and check because I was like, I need to know what this man's name is so I can understand why on God's green earth he sounds like this.
Yeah.
And his name is Patrick Doyle, I believe. As soon as I saw that, I was like, that makes sense now.
He's the Rachel Doyle's husband.
Oh! I did not make that connection. I enjoyed the house to a large extent. I will say, so let me, inside joke, but you know how the town was, the state was called Kowa?
Yeah.
So the English translation for the word Kowa basically means everyone or everybody. Mm. So every time someone said, I will be the next governor of Kowa, or I am the governor of Kowa, or the people of Kowa, I died laughing because I'm like, really, the people of everybody, the governor of everybody. It was the funniest thing ever. Like, even the town being called Nanji, it was just, it almost like, it was like they were saying Naji, but then they tweaked it a little bit, and like, Naji is, I've heard. So it was very interesting, like, from that name. Perspective.
I like the name. Do you know the thing about the North? I've always felt like the North was a different country. I feel like Northerners are like the cool kids of Nigeria, to be honest, because their accent,
I'm not hyping. I will take the hype. Continue.
Accent, even like the illiterates, they still have like some sort of accent, when like this type of accent they used to speak English.
Yeah.
Very different, like the rest of Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's very cool. I like to hear like Hausa accents speaking English, and even speaking their language, is different from the rest of Nigeria. It's cool.
No, definitely. Yeah. I also like the fact that like they didn't force the non-Hausa speakers to speak Hausa.
Yeah, but they said some certain phrases and
yeah, there were certain phrases, but it was like the very easy, quick to learn ones. Like anyone who doesn't speak Hausa didn't have to speak like proper detailed
yeah.
Hausa. And I appreciate that they did that because genuinely, I have watched many a film where people are speaking Hausa and the tenses are wrong, the sentence doesn't make any sense, the structure is just off, the pronunciation is in the gutter. I
Yeah,
was very happy about that.
even in Blood Vessels, I was listening to another podcast review of Blood Vessels, and I remember somebody saying that
Yeah.
the first sentence that was said in what language was spoken in? I think it was Igala,
Well, it
or
was it Gala?
I can't remember.
No,
But
it
the language
was.
that they were speaking in
Yeah.
Blood Vessels, the first sentence that opened up the movie was pronounced.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Interesting.
so like a native speaker was like that was like a very big turn off for her. So yes, I get
Yeah.
what you're saying. It's very important that if you're even like going to like incorporate a different language into the movie, it is really important that it's spoken correctly. And if it's not,
Yeah.
if the people that you have hired to speak the language can't fluently speak the language, then you know it's not
Don't
by
make them speak it.
fault.
It's
It's not
really
by
not.
choice, yeah. But I really enjoyed hearing the language and how it was, you know, mixed with English. It was very cool.
Yeah.
I like how maybe they will exclaim in the language. Like they don't have to like have conversations. Maybe just like
Yeah.
exclamation or, you know, a cuss word or like
Yeah.
you get
And
like yeah.
honestly, that's how most of us function. Like we just like it's like even Yoruba will do the same thing where like there's random things that you only say in Yoruba and the rest of it will be in English. Like that's just it's always been a thing. So it felt very authentic, it felt very real. It didn't feel like it was forced,
Course.
which I really appreciated. I think in general, the entire storyline, it was I got why they put it into 6 episodes. I think I've said this with every single thing that we've reviewed that was a series.
It was too
And I
long.
will say it again. Not that it was too long. I just feel like it could have been condensed. It could have been condensed into a film.
But you know, I didn't
Because if
feel
you think about it, it's not that I felt that way. It was more like by the time I was done watching it, I was like, so I watched this in one sitting, no problem. Why didn't I just watch this in one sitting as one thing? Do you get what I mean? Like I wasn't mad at the fact that it was.
You know what? I agree that yes, I also watched it. I didn't watch it in one sitting. I started watching it
Yeah.
and then I stopped because you hadn't, you know, we're talking and I realized that you hadn't even
Yeah,
finished.
yeah.
And I didn't want to
Yeah.
finish it and then be waiting. So I was like, okay, let me pace
Guys,
myself.
for
But
context, when it came out, I was still in Lagos
yeah,
and
having the time of your life,
I was
right?
definitely in my December, so I wasn't even watching that in. So when I got back to my parents in Kaduna yesterday, I downloaded it and I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, so for me, I started like I binge watched the first 4.5. Like I literally watched 4.5
Yeah.
at once, and then I texted you.
Yeah.
He and I had discussed watching 3 and then watching the remaining 3. For me,
Yeah. Yeah. Four.
I watched. I was when I was about to finish 4 or start 4. I think when I was half of 4, I texted you and I was like, "Hey,
Yeah.
wait to finish this thing because I'm already like on 4, right?" So that's when I
Yeah,
finished.
yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you're like, okay, cool, let's finish watching everything. So when you said you hadn't started watching it at all, I was like, oh, I have to stop because I want to talk about it and I don't want to spoil it for you because I'll be texting you and being like, oh, have you
Yeah.
gotten here? Have you gotten there? And I was like, also, we're recording on Saturday, so let me just pace myself. So I literally finished the whole thing in
Yeah.
another sitting. So I watched it in 2 sittings, but I could have watched it in one. And for
Yeah.
me, I wouldn't
No, you
say
definitely gotta
that.
watch it in one.
Yeah, you know, I was not even told you that. Let's just like or. But we discuss her. But you know the thing is,
Yeah.
I didn't think that it was too long or it should have been condensed. And here's why. Yes, there are some things that if you think about it, maybe weren't totally necessarily, you know, weren't totally like necessary to be in there or to be the length that they were. Some things could have, you know, been shorter or
Yeah.
whatever. But I also feel
Yeah.
like because of the type of movie it is, political, kinetic conclusion, it wasn't like a feel-good movie like Ololade. It was kind of, I feel like there were some scenes that were needed to be like palate cleansers for some things that have just happened.
Yeah.
So it's not just like back to back, just giving you back to back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like 100% necessary or anything, but I didn't really feel like it was necessary either. So it was just like,
okay, yeah,
it's not, because there were a lot of shooting, a lot of political brouhaha that I was just like, first of all, I don't necessarily like watching Nollywood movies like this, because I feel like it is overly exaggerated, and obviously it's a movie, so I don't mind overly over exaggeration in movies, but sometimes really because it's like part of our reality, I really just feel like I usually avoid movies like this. But I actually enjoyed this one. I enjoyed it, and there was a lot of glass blows, but there were some glass blows that I was not expecting. I was like, okay.
Same.
At some point, at some point, I was at work when I was watching it, and I literally dropped my phone and threw my hands up. I was like, what? Like, anybody that was passing that just saw me would be like, hope all is well with that.
Is this one okay? So, I watched it at home, and like, obviously, the Hausa girl in me came out fully because I was watching it. And like, I literally just, I don't think I spoke English the entire time I was watching it. Like, there are points where I was freaking out as they were freaking out. There was the big revelation where we find out that what's his name? Booba actually killed his own brother, his own cousin.
You know, like, the thing is, I have this bad habit of when I'm watching Nigerian movies, predicting the movie. Like, I'm already like, okay, this one is the evil stepmother, or this one is going to be rich, or this one, like, I always watch it and predict what is going to happen.
What's
going to
happen,
I can tell you for certain that Booba killing his brother
was... I didn't see it coming.
Like, the guy was just a good guy. I never saw
that. It was not in my bingo card.
It was, even like, when, do you know when I started being like, not really started being suspicious, I was not even suspicious of him until he actually said it. Like, him just admitting it.
You know the worst part? You know when, when Mr. Boston Bobby Brown, which, can I just say, the alliteration of that name alone, loved its peak. It was so funny. When Mr. Boston Bobby Brown goes BK Oil, I was thinking, okay, so Binta has some company that she named BK off God knows what. My brain didn't even go Booba Koda. It was just like, okay, Binta has done. Now it's clear that it's Binta's fault. And then her reaction was like a lot. Like, I feel like that reaction was a lot. But then I just felt like, okay, she's been betrayed by her best friend. And honestly, if my best friend was my biggest off, I would be the type of way too.
Because you know what? I was waiting for him to be like, oh, the money came from Binta. And then when he said BK and she reacted like that, I was like, obviously it's Binta, because I was not thinking like she should
put
together. Now, you literally told her this, but obviously other people will know, the crew and everything will know, so she probably won't go, her mind probably won't go to her best friend being a suspect. But her reaction, I could see her face, she was putting two and two together. In my mind, the two and two
were Binta.
Until she went there, when she just said, you have a company called BK Oil. I said, eh? And then he now said, do you know, even when he put that woman and her daughter, you know what? Let me tell you a part that didn't make sense to me, but when he admitted, made 100% sense to me. He was in the car with that woman and her daughter. And the next thing, they were in his house. I was like, how did you escape all those bandits? Ashe, it was a plot. It was a ploy.
He had the bandits in his pocket. But like, the person I pitied in all of this matter was Nuhu. Because I was like, this poor Malambula, with his, I just want to do good for my people. Lord, I sound like a northerner now. I just want to do good for my people. I want to make sure that they are happy. I want to help them. I want to make sure that they can benefit from these mines. Everybody around him is busy playing little games. He's basically a pawn in everyone's hand. I was like,
when he said, when that what's his name? Boohoo. When Boohoo said that, told Nuhu that
his wife works for him. That one was saying, nothing can surprise me again. Omo, he was surprised though. He was shocked.
You too, won't you be surprised?
I was like,
sorry?
Do you know, like, I was shocked. That part really shocked me. And kudos to
them.
The writing was good. But, and the cinematography, it looks very good to watch as well. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of other things, please tell me you finally understood what I meant by the soundtrack and the sound design. Because if you still don't get it, after I've mentioned it every single episode for the past three, me and you are going to fight soon. At this point, I feel like I need to fly to you and sit you down.
Especially at the end, that final scene.
Yeah.
Especially that final scene when this guy was offering her the cola. Cola brings life, but this cola just brought her death.
After he used that in the first time, as I saw it, I was like, ooh, girl, don't take it. Don't do it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. Move.
That was crazy. But yeah, I think I understand the scoring. I think I understand it. And yeah, it was very good. It was very good.
I really enjoyed it. So, now I would like to point out that we haven't watched the original, which this spins off from, English is hard. So War, which if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to Google what it stands for, because it is, yeah, it's a spin-off from the Caliphate, and if I'm remembering correctly, it's an abbreviation for, I think, Wealth and something. This is how you know I'm Googling, because I'm just like, what is this an abbreviation for? All right, so War is a spin-off of a Netflix show called Sons of the Caliphate, if I'm remembering that correctly. It's a show by Ebony Life. And so War is actually an abbreviation. It stands for Wrath and Revenge. And it's basically, it picks off where the original story left off. We didn't watch the original story. And now I'm just kind of curious to see what happened in the original, because there's a character in this one, Dicko, who his plotline centers around something that happened in the first one where Binta tried to kill him. So I do want to go back and watch that and try and figure out what the connection is and see if it actually is a link that was needed in terms of like the grand scheme of like, would you miss anything if you didn't watch it? I feel like you wouldn't, because it was a very complete story. I don't necessarily know. I miss anything either, but I'm now curious to go and see what happened in the first one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that curious, to be honest. I don't think I missed anything. And like I said before, like, it's not something that I normally watch, but I actually enjoyed it. So if it was that I was watching the first one first, but now I have to watch the first one last, and I already know what happens at the end, because I'm going to keep watching knowing that Miriam Dinabi, what's her name? The wife, Nuhu's wife.
Binta
didn't marry Dicko, because at the end I saw like a promotion for the first one when Dicko was talking to Nuhu on the phone saying that, hey, you know that girl I wanted to propose to, do you remember her, something Binta. Nuhu was like, oh, I don't know her. Meanwhile, Nuhu was on a date with her, and Dicko was outside the restaurant looking at them saying, oh, remember that girl I wanted to propose to, and then Nuhu was being saying, oh, I don't know how, I don't remember her.
Meanwhile, and can I just say, the fact that she was at the time playing all of them, because, you know, they supposedly killed her father, I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All of this was a very, very elaborate plot. But yeah, so it follows the story of the people of the state of Kowa and the village of Nanji, because obviously there's a gubernatorial, I think that's how you say it, election that is about to happen. Oh my God, I sound like a housewoman. That is about to happen. And they have found diamond deposits in Nanji, which is a village in the state of Kowa. And because of those diamond deposits, there's now a bigger race going on, because the current governor, Governor Sanusi, wants to remain in power so that he can have direct access to and control of the mines. And
see, can I say real quick, like, when I watched that first scene and the guy was like telling
me
how I want you to be a nurse, you will be a doctor.
Yeah.
And do you know what I thought? Let me tell you what my prediction was.
When I watched that scene, I was like, okay, so this girl is going to come with, grow up and avenge her father. That's what's going to happen. Because when they killed the man, I was like, okay, so she's going to grow up. She's going to avenge her dad. I was just already rolling my eyes. Like,
I was like, here we go.
I thought, okay, no problem. She's going to remember the man's face and then look for him in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then come and kill him.
And then when she finds him, it's going to be one of those. I know I said I wanted to be a doctor, but no, revenge is greater than my need to study medicine.
That's what I was expecting. And in fact, I was even expecting that, you know, maybe the diamond was in his pocket or somewhere, and then she'll just take the diamond and run away, and then now become
you
very...
You get going to sell it.
But when the first part that threw me off was when the bandit actually took the diamond. I was like, okay, so is she coming? She going to... But I still feel like she's going to kill the guy, Sha.
Yeah.
It was throwing me off back to back. Oh, okay, let's see where this is going, and yeah, carry on.
Yeah, no, so obviously, so that's going on, and in line with this, you know, the incumbent is Governor Sanusi. What do you call the person that's campaigning against the, I guess, his rival, his opponent, or whatever? Yeah, Nuhubula and his wife are, you know, they are currently trying to garner the favor of the people so that they can, you know, win the election and go into power. And it's generally the unfolding of the race to the election. And there's a lot of drama, a lot of intrigue, a lot of backstabbing and chaotic activities, because apparently everybody has an agenda. And the only person that is of any... You know the worst part? Even Nuhu himself, I feel like he had an agenda. But his agenda was the only one that came from a good place.
Yeah. He had a positive.
Maybe Alicia as well. But then Alicia was trying to prove to everybody that that her dad picking her to take over the company was a good choice.
Yeah, she has something to prove.
Yeah. She had a lot to prove.
But she went on with that Boohoo guy. I was like, my man, I was like, first of all, if somebody brings like a live singer on a date, ask me anything, you're going to get yes. Yeah. It's going to be a yes for
first
me.
First of all, I started laughing when I saw Morel, because I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen or heard anything by Morel in so long. This is such a house show.
Know
I love
who
it.
That was. I didn't know even
so
know
he's
who
a Northern artist that has, I want to say, one really big song, which you probably don't know, and it's fine. But he has this really big song called Ganga de Garaya, and it's like, oh my God, growing up, it was like an anthem. Like, in secondary school, that song was everyone's jam. So, like, seeing him was like, oh, okay. Hi, Mel. It's been a minute. You're so employed. We thank God for your life.
I'm sure it was nostalgia for Northerners.
Oh yes, it was very much a pleasure for me. But then again, if he's still been making music, I'm sorry, I just haven't checked. But for me, it was very much in the nostalgia moment. I was like, ooh, but my dear, if a man sets up his spread like that for me, also, can I just say that is the best kind of proposal. Like, I know some people are into the whole, and we're very, very much off topic, but given that Twitter has inundated me with engagement posts for the past 48 to 72 hours, I feel like it needs to be said.
Oh, and by the way, everybody in Lagos is getting married. In this past 3 days,
my dear,
everybody is getting married.
I'm convinced that there was a memo that got sent out that anyone that's not engaged in 2024 is an idiot, and I just didn't see the email. So now I'm going to be the fool next tomorrow.
You're the idiot. You're the complete...
I'm the idiot.
Wait, what's that Bobisky sound? You're the idiot. What's that Bobisky sound? God, I forgot it.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking about, but I can't remember what it is.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so like, I feel like, you see that type of a proposal, like, it's very intimate, it's just the two of them. I mean, the artist is there, sure, I could do without the artist, but like, I like the fact that it's just them. Like, all that extra pressure of other people being there to celebrate with you, we can't celebrate next week. That's why we have engagement parties.
Yeah.
It needs to be just me and you, everybody else will find out after the fact. We'll video call them.
Okay, let's get into what we do not like about it, because we really like it. Let's get into what we didn't like about it. You go first. You go first. Because I have my own.
Please go first.
Okay, so the first thing I caught here, and I made a note about this,
yeah,
I didn't want to forget, so let me quickly open my notes app.
Hey, it's a new made notes, my God.
No, just
what
on this
we not see?
just on this.
Any note is progress, my dear. Any note is progress. I'm just shocked you made a note.
Me, I was like, the dialogue was a bit confusing to me. Because yeah. when the middleman, like the Sambisa guy,
yeah.
went to Diko, Abby, when he was talking to Diko, he was saying that he wants the aspiring governor to die. The governor must die. Then later, they ended the conversation. He said, just make sure he never wants to run for governor again. I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
He just said he wanted
to die. Yeah.
It looked to me like they had filmed that scene like multiple times and were just like a cut and join. And dialogue didn't really make sense. And the same middleman, the same Sambisa, comes to Diko's house and is like, hey, Diko is like, hey, I need to meet the person that you work for. I need to know the person you work for before I do the job. And I'm like, no,
you can't
see him. It's not possible to see him. And I said, no, I must see him before I do anything. And the next
day,
okay, we have a deal. I'm like, what is the deal? Is the deal that you go ahead without seeing him, or I will take
it. See, but that one, I understand what you mean by the first one. That one was a bit confusing, but I think the we have a deal one was, all right, cool. You can come and see him and see who it is that I'm working for. And then we can now continue from there.
Obviously, because I watched to the end of the movie, I found out the deal was you will see him. But that conversation in particular,
it didn't flow.
Was like I was more wondering, so what you just said, okay, we have a deal. Like it wasn't like, oh
yeah,
have a deal. It was more like we have it. Like it was just off to me. I was like, I left
the
conversation as confused as when I started. So I had to continue watching to see, okay, did we actually meet him or did you not see him? Like
what happened?
But the dialogue was a bit off to me. Another thing that was like my eyebrows were entering
raise.
I was like, this shooting scene is not shooting. They did not shoot it well. The way they are shooting, the way they shot that shooting scene, they pointed the gun directly at the policewoman. They shot directly
How?
Do anything like that. I was like, the maths, you could not do Pythagoras theorem. It was algorithm. It was a bit confusing. Like, she didn't even, in that whole movie, I did not see that woman dodge any bullets.
But this one that made me laugh though. I didn't even think about this too much. So keep in mind, I watched if you guys are following us on Twitter, which, you know, shameless plug, follow us on Twitter at the Nollywood Ramble. There's this scene in No Way Through when I was watching that, where one of the actors was holding his gun and he kept holding it up to his chest in the weirdest way I have ever seen. So I think coming off the back of watching that movie and being like, what is this one doing? I just wasn't paying attention to most of the gun stuff. Like, I saw it, but like, it didn't register in my brain as an issue. I looked past it. I think that
every time I was like, what is this man even shooting at? Like, look at the scene.
Yeah, at the clouds and the trees.
Where she was rescuing rescuing Diko's wife.
Someone, I think you mean attempting to rescue because the woman died.
Exactly. Someone was shooting at them. She just stopped like this.
Yeah.
After she didn't even dodge. Like, they are shooting directly at you. No dodge. No, you know, you run behind like the wall or something. No, this one was testing everything.
Was giving James Bond.
She did not dodge one single bullet in the entire movie. You know,
she was Jane Bond.
The woman, when she came, she signed her contract. She was like, yeah, you guys want me to play police officer. Best believe. I'm not dodging. I'm not all this acrobat. I know the acrobat.
Marry a bullet.
She was like,
keep the stunt coordinator for everybody else. That's not for me.
You want, like, see, tell your editor to do, like, I'm not do acrobats. I was like,
this is not the Matrix. I am not Neo. We are not doing this. Find a way around it.
I'm like, didn't the director see that this one is just doing like this? Because let me show you what I'm doing. This is all I saw the woman do from the beginning to the end. This is what I saw her do.
Oh my God. It's a funny thing. So on the one hand, I liked her character. Huh?
I loved her character. Like, no, her expressions. Her expressions, her acting was top notch. But that shooting.
Yeah.
No.
It was interesting.
Let me not say that. This whoever they hired for stunts, which
is yeah.
Anybody for stunts. But whoever they hired for stunts, I'm sure the person would be like, Ma.
What was the reason?
Please. Because the
white
man was behind you. Behind you. You did not run.
No, but even when they went to get Alicia and the woman and her daughter out of the house and everything, and Ayala was the one with the gun, and like, you know, they went into the room and everything, got the guy off her, they shot them both. I was like, all this, no one in there has a gun. Like, how did you get past all the guards? It was a very quick one to this, and I was like, okay. Oh.
No, the guards were on break. you know how they say good help is hard to find? Good help is really hard to find. The guards are like, come on, nobody's coming to
this. Especially in the land of Koa.
You know, exactly. So, it'd be things, honestly. I mean, I'm a HR manager, I've experienced it before. It's just we will stay here, watch this person. No, the guard. It's quite unfortunate, but we experience it all the time. So I've never
heard
of stage, but you know, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I did not like. But I think everything else was quite good. Like, I didn't really have any I didn't really have anything. So did you have anything that you didn't like?
See, now this is where you're going to see that this is where my bias is going to come in. I think that the Northern in me was just so excited to see a Northern story being portrayed in a more interesting way than I'm used to, that I wasn't being as critical as I usually am of a lot of the things that were going on. A couple of things that sort of were iffy to me were some of the little plot holes here and there. Like the pipeline from Sambisa working for Sanusi to working for Buba confused me quite a little bit. Like, I understand gone for hire and I called you and you switch allegiance, but like, I was like,
Do you know what I feel? It totally made sense because I feel like Sanusi was always working for Buhu. I feel like he was always Sambisa was always working for Buhu, but maybe not for the beginning of the show. I feel like at some point, although they should have shown us
how that's what I'm saying. Like,
they should have shown us because
it made sense. Was a phone call. He just said, "Yes, I'm with you," and then next thing he's in his house. Like, how?
Yeah. Yes, I agree, but I feel like it makes sense because how else did he escape from the bandits? It was Sanusi that called the bandits.
Yeah.
So there was like it made sense that he could escape from bandits because he's always had an inside guy. He has always had
an
inside guy. I feel like Sanusi
Sambisa
was always his inside guy.
And can I just say, should have
shown us how that
happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that this man is called Sambisa like the forest. I died. The first time they said his name, I was like, really? As in Sambisa Forest?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
No, outside names, like northern names, like anything that's named like northern, right? They always have some sort of
But see, here's the thing. I have never met a single human soul named Sambisa in my life.
I know.
It's a place.
It's a forest.
Exactly. Like, it is wilderness, as far as I'm concerned. So when I heard it, I first laughed. I was like, okay, this is funny. And then they just kept saying it, and I was like, oh, okay, so we're running with this. Okay, maybe it's a nickname, Sha, who knows? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that kind of annoyed me a bit. And then, you know, when Diko goes to meet his father, and they have that whole conversation about, you know, you return from the dead, yada, yada, yada. And his dad seemingly is not going to help him. So when he does the 180 and he goes to the governor's house and has the conversation with him and tells him, you need to release my son, and king kong, I'm thinking to myself, now how did we go from...
I can tell you how.
To...
I remember when he was having the conversation with Deko, and Deko said,
yeah,
the way they ended that scene was Deko saying,
yeah,
you won't do it for me, do it for your grandson. And the man was like,
yeah, I remember that.
I think that's what convinced him. He was just like, you know how grandparents would be like,
fine. It's not because of you, it's because of my grandchild, yeah, but I'll do it. Because so I just remember thinking, this pipeline is a little bit too sus to me. Like, the. Also, like, what was the role of Inspector Katang's son? Because I don't know what Elkanah was doing there. He was just there. Like, he was an accessory.
Yeah.
And the only plot device that he helped me push was when he made her pick up the phone and listen to the people, because he was like, don't give up just yet.
No, yes. I feel like that was... It was like a build up for him to now be the one to encourage her to go back to the field, because she already.
Yeah.
So like the whole series, he was against her profession, and at the end,
yeah,
he was the one encouraging her. So he kind of hiding for me, but I don't like that guy's acting, to be honest. So kind of, I don't even know. It just didn't. There are two people that kind of gave me an ick with their acting.
Yeah.
That guy and the person that played. The mom of the little girl that her dad died.
Let's not discuss that woman. Because yeah, that woman, I was just like
the girl could act so good, way better.
The
like,
little girl was so
cute. The little girl, they gave her more lines because they're like, do you notice that in the room when
yeah,
was interrogating them, like, how did you get
here? Her mom was just quiet.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like, you know what, let her be the one to dialogue. Because
yeah,
don't talk.
The thing is, I don't know if they made him that annoying on purpose. The guy who played Elkanah's character, rather. I'm not sure. I'm hoping they did, because you know when a child is being disrespectful. Now I don't have no kids. As y'all have already figured out from my complaints that everybody and their grandfather is getting engaged over the last couple of days, I am single as they come. And the Nigerian anti-stroke one day mother in me came out and was like, and said, what are you talking to like that? Are you stupid? As in, the number of times I wanted to slap this boy. Because it was the eye rolls, it was the size, it was the bringing up his father unprovoked. Maybe it's your fault he left. Every single time this boy opened my mouth, I wanted to slap him. I was like, ma'am, if you don't slap him, I will. And I really hate that was a choice that was made consciously. Because if it was, then I will give him props for delivering it well. If it was not, then happy accident. Because that was the only thing about that character that I actually liked.
I get you. So, there wasn't too much to hate about this. There wasn't too much to nitpick.
No.
I
think it was an alright story.
I keep forgetting her name. Is it Bianca? Is it Bianca?
Alicia.
No. The Nuhu's wife.
Oh, Binta.
Binta. Gosh, I keep forgetting.
How did you get Bianca from Binta?
I mean, B.
Ma'am. No.
How did you get Alicia for Bianca?
Because Alicia was the only person with an English name in the entire show.
Is Bianca not an English name?
Bianca is an English name. Binta is not English. It's Tausa.
Oh, Binta is not English.
Hey, God.
Yeah.
You thought Binta was English.
I don't know, man. Anyway.
Hey, okay.
Anyway, yeah. I liked her acting so much. I was convinced that this woman's a psychopath. Like,
no, Rahma has psycho chick in the bag. And like, so if you've watched what's it called? If you've watched Chief Daddy 2,
I watched it.
You know she's the extra sister that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, sister or wife?
No, sister. Mm. She was one of his children.
Oh,
But she was the neglected one with the Hausa mother that nobody remembers. And she came and she bought everything and she iced them all out. So like, the thing is, I've always known that was her bag, but like watching her do it so thoroughly and so well, I really enjoyed it. I also, I liked the trade-off between her and her, I can't tell if that girl, Diko's wife was her sister or just a friend of hers that was supposedly in on the whole. Again, this is why I keep saying I think I need to go on Watch Sons of Caliphate, because I feel like there's things that happened in that that tie into the links between these characters that like, so I can't fully tell why they are linked.
Definitely, yes.
Because her anger and Nafisa is a bit much.
I don't think they were sisters. Because if they were sisters, she wouldn't have said they killed my father. They would have said they killed our dad.
True, yeah, they killed our dad, yeah.
So I think maybe they were friends or something. I can't really tell what they were. But the reason I don't even want to watch it is not because it's not tired. I know it's tired, but I've seen the end.
Yeah.
I know how we end.
But can we talk about that end, though? Because I didn't like the end.
You didn't?
Let me tell you why I didn't like the end. I felt like the end was too open-ended.
Like, there might be a part five.
Exactly. The way it ended, I was just like, okay, but so now what?
I don't agree. Let me tell you why. Because
why?
The whole goal has been achieved. Like, Diko already achieved his goal. He wanted to kill Sam Tanusi and Binta.
So, but he also...
That's it.
But they're not, though. Diko wanted... Sanusi is dead, but that wasn't Diko's goal. Diko's goal was just get Sanusi off his back. His father was the one who decided that killing him was the best way to go about that. What he really wanted was for Binta and Nuhu to pay for their, as he calls it, crimes. The only reason he was scared about Sanusi... Yeah, but you know his fear with Sanusi was... Now that he has done what Sanusi wants, Sanusi will get rid of him.
Yeah.
So that's why he wanted Sanusi controlled or at least sorted out to an extent. So now Sanusi is dead. Nuhu is supposed to become governor. That obviously is not going to happen anymore because Alicia has blown the top off the whole conspiracy.
Which I love. Like, more people should just go on news channels and say, this one is... more people should do that.
Baby girl just said, hi, give me the mic. And she just started yawning. And I was like, yes. Now make sure your passport is ready to leave the country. But like, yes.
Right after Boohoo was like, oh, we don't have anything to worry about. Hi, my name is Alicia.
My name is Alicia Karma. And you need to know that, what's it called? If there has been a conspiracy by Buba Koda and the Bulas to take over the mine, the gemstone mine in Nanji. As she was talking, I was like, baby girl, please tell me that you and Boston Bobby Brown are going to ride off into the sunset after you finish this interview, because if you stay in that state, they kill you.
Okay, finish talking about how you didn't like the end. I need to talk about Boston Bobby Brown, because that's a character.
We do. We need to get into that. So my issue with it was, obviously, Binta's in custody, right? And then... Kinney, General Loco comes into the room and he's like, I've come to help. First of all, sir, your son wants her dead. Why have you come to help her? Second of all, you are giving her the colonel of death that you gave to Sanusi. So now I'm even more confused. Did you come to kill her or you came to help her?
No,
and
he came to kill her, but he's lying to her that he's coming to help her.
That's what me too, I'm hoping. But given that I did not see a death, and the statement was very open-ended, and the music made it seem like there's something more to what he's saying. I couldn't tell whether or not it was over or it was not. So again, I'm just like, why did you leave me with more questions than I wanted to ask in the first place?
No, so for me, I believe that I have the answers. And here, I think he came to her, first of all, he came to tell her, I'm here to help. If you remember when he was talking to his son, the son said, no, you have disowned me. You don't want anything to do with me anymore, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like that was public knowledge, because it wasn't public knowledge. Once he was not dead, like everybody thought, he would have gone to his father's house.
But
so I feel like Binta knows that he disowned his son. So him come say, I will
probably wasn't shocking for her. He probably wants to help her because he knows that her husband is going to be governor next and he will benefit from
that. Well, he can't be governor anymore considering this whole arrest situation.
Is your current president not saying somebody that forged I beg you.
Ma'am, we are not discussing actual politics, please.
Yeah, we are talking about, let's forget about it. They will just come and debunk it and say she's Alisa is crazy. She's now in the institute. Ignore everything she said. There's no diamond. It's not Nigeria, I beg. So I feel like it is plausible. In fact, I feel like plenty of people are knocking down that jail cell to help her because they know that if these people become governor or whatever, they will have a lot to gain from it. So that is out of the realm of reality. Then I feel like that just shows that he had died. She's like he had killed her rather. I feel like that's I think that's what that explains. And also Diko just really wanted her dead. I don't think, I won't say Diko didn't really care about Nuhu, but really, if I was Diko, I wouldn't really care about Nuhu because Nuhu's
kind of inconsequential.
Nuhu's balls was literally Binta. That like Nuhu, after Binta, like he was basically in like nothing.
I mean, she told him to break up with his soon-to-be second wife, and he really went and broke up with his soon-to-be second wife. That I was like, after all the mouth you have made that you're going to marry this woman, Nisa, I will make good on my promise.
No, she didn't just see. Binta is a woman that knows how to be a manipulative. You know when they say
psychopath,
they have a power. You know how to she not just say oh break up with your like anybody can say oh break up with your side chick. No, she came, she said I killed this person, I'm gonna break up with you. The guy was like okay ma.
He said everything that we have done together. She goes did we kill Khalifa together? I was like he was
he was like you killed the emir. Do you know what it is to kill an emir? And then you tell me to go and break up my girlfriend. I'm not going to break up with her. I'll say yes, ma. Yes.
He said, sir, here's what you are not going to do. All my hard work is not going to go into the gutter and I'm not sharing it to anybody. So you're going to break up with that girl?
So I feel like for Diko, I feel since Diko and Nuhu had been friends, he probably knows the kind of person Nuhu is.
Yeah.
I don't think, I won't say he doesn't care about Nuhu, whether he's alive or not, but I feel like they ended
it. Yeah.
Because the main person, the main psychopath is Binta. So dead, Nuhu is basically inconsequential. Like there's nothing they can do, like he can't do anymore for me. So that's what I thought it was.
He doesn't necessarily have a mind of his own as well. Like he knows what he wants to do, he doesn't know how to achieve it. And you know, politics is one of those games that clearly is very underhanded and very you wash my hand, I wash yours. So him on his own, he wasn't going to be able to get it done. So without her, it's kind of pointless.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Boohoo is the very definition of...
I love how you keep calling him Boohoo.
Not Boohoo.
His name is Booba.
Oh, Booba. You know it's Nuhu I've been saying, so Boohoo. Okay, yeah. Booba. Booba is the very definition of you never see me coming.
Voila.
Because hey,
my dad said, I don't care about politics. I'm not interested in the royal title. I don't want anything. I'm sorry, Northern again. They were begging him to become Emir. Begging him. He
laid out the map for himself.
He had planned this thing. Really? Talking about the consortium in the presidency. Which consortium, sir?
I have something to say about that guy that played Booba. That guy's a very good actor. I've watched him. That guy is the definition of someone that has range. And I like how he picks his projects. You don't just see him in random stuff. He's in things that you remember. You remember it. Not
if you don't remember anybody else, you will remember his character, especially.
He's a very good actor, amazing actor. He picks his projects beautifully. He knows what he wants for me. But I have a comma. Please, I don't know his name, but Paraventure, you know his name and you know him. Now, somebody asked him that, yes, he's a good actor. I believe anything he acts. But sometimes, in this particular movie, he looked the part. So, I'm not going to believe
it. Yeah.
But that look is his monotone. That look is monotone. He never changes it. That can we please
shift you it want to switch it up?
No, I love the look in this one. It fits the
part. Yeah. He definitely fits the part.
Is he Northern? Because
he I think he is.
Northern.
But I think he is.
Regardless, his look is too monotone for me. Like, I'm not talking about in this particular one. I just feel like generally.
Yeah.
Part of like whatever he plays. Even though he doesn't look the part all the time. I won't say he doesn't look the part. I feel like he somehow acts so well that he looks the part.
Yeah. But exactly.
Still the same look. So I'm just like, guy, I don't know if you have covenant with beard or is your beard.
Said a covenant with his beard.
Maybe you promise your wife that you never cut it. You know, some women love it. Like me now, Mary.
As soon as possible.
But I'd like to see the face without it. I just had that say. Now, let's talk about Boston Bobby Brown. Because when I first heard that name, I don't understand. You, please explain to me because you love it.
I said I liked the alliteration of it. It made me laugh.
Okay. Boston Bobby Brown. Explain, please.
It's just the alliterative kidney of it. Boston Bobby Brown. It's stupid, though. It's extremely stupid. I will not say it is not. But just the sing-songy of it. Boston Bobby Brown. Boston Bobby Brown. It was just funny.
I thought it was like a double entendre.
It was funny. No.
But like an under joke that I didn't understand because I was like, what does it mean? I was trying to put
one. He said it was a nickname from when he was in school. And no, like, I meant stuff.
Like maybe it's a double entendre from like writers, right? The guy's name is Sambisa now, and then we get, oh, it's the forest. But I was wondering, like, is this something that I don't understand? Maybe I did not hear. But for me, I was like,
honest, if it meant anything, it went right over my head. I just thought it was funny. I thought it was a fun little name to give the character, and that was it. But I will say, after being starved of my darling Ayola for so long, it was so nice seeing him on my screen again. Mm. Even though it was a choice for him to do this, considering we've seen him as Aminu and we know what he can do, this was just kind of like,
well, I would
really,
say, I have a good and a bad for his character.
You have a good? Is the good?
Let me start with the good. The good is that his fight scene with Sambisa is the only believable science fight scene in the entire movie.
Okay, I will give you that.
In the
entire movie, fight scene.
It was the only believable fight scene. When I was watching it, I was like, yes, I can believe these two guys are fighting. Every other
one. Yeah.
Sorry, no. The bad, I was like, Oga, you're working for Madame. You're seducing Madame.
See, but then again, that's actually a possibility because we all know that.
Possible. But I was men don't from where to where? I was like, from where to where? No boundaries. No.
What are boundaries in the scheme of a fine woman?
No, I feel like, especially for the North, that is more conservative, it was a bit too rushed. Like, I feel like they could have given us a period. It was literally the next
scene
we produced him, and then other scenes happened. Then the next scene we saw him was in the conference room, and he was already coming onto her. I was like,
he was just comforting her in her moment of weakness. Now, you mean when you want to have to eat with him?
Yes, I was like,
yeah, but you see, what you are forgetting is that you're saying Northerners, neither one of them are technically Northern. Like she said, she's not an indigenous of Kowa, her family migrated there. He's coming from the abroad, my darling. He does not think like them.
Also, he came from Amsterdam, and then Sambisa was saying, go back to America. I was like,
Sambisa doesn't know where he came from now. What's Sambisa's business? All he knows is now Oyinbo don't come.
But he's not even Oyinbo. Why didn't Sambisa say go back to Lagos? Why did he think he was coming from America?
Because all they know is that they flew in a private investigator to look into the crash. They don't know where the person came from.
They could have flown him in from Ghana. Why did he think America? Anyway,
because the guy is doing like the foreigners do.
It wasn't something wasn't something I nitpicked on. It was just something I noticed. But yeah, that's my good and bad on Ayola. And also, like, his romantic scenes with Adisha kind of, it gave me...
They felt very flat.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. I was like, no. Even when he was comforting her, I was cringing. I was like, don't kiss. Please don't kiss. If you kiss...
Okay, so that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm editing by myself. Corey is not here, so I'm just going to do the outro. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Please be sure to follow us on our socials. Subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Happy New Year, guys, once again. Or I don't know if you said it already during the episode. But Happy New Year. Welcome to 2024. It's going to be a great one. And yeah, have a great one, guys. Bye.